भगवते वासुदेवाय भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न स्तिकी। पितृदेव ऋषि मर्त्यानां भूतानां आत्मनश्चः क्षेमयो विदन् we receive heat, light, water and all other natural amenities through the mercy of the demigods. We are also indebted to our forefathers who have given us these bodies, paternal property, intelligence, society, friendship and love. Similarly, we are indebted to the general public for politics and sociology, and we are also indebted to the lower animals such as horses, cows, asses, dogs and cats. In this way, as soon as one is born in this material world as a human being, he has so many obligations and is bound to repay all these obligations. If he does not repay them, he is further entangled in the process of birth and death. The Grihamehi, however, who is overly addicted to material things, does not know that if he simply takes shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, he is immediately free from all obligations to others. Unfortunately, a Grihamehi does not have any interest in Krishna consciousness. Prahlada Maharaj says, Krishna Bharata Satova Mito Vipati Eta Grihavrata. 30. A Grihaprata is same as a Grihamehi. One who takes sex life to be supreme finds action in Krishna consciousness confusing, either due to his own personal consideration or due to his having taken instructions from others or conferring with them. He becomes addicted to sexual indulgence and cannot act in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tarakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sahrajatam Saharana Ravanatam Vithantam Sanjeevam Sadvaitam Sabhadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Harita Shri Vishnatam Vithamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandho Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhamu Sute Devi Namami Haripriye Panchagarpatarubhyascha Vakvasangrubhya Hevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The proposal put forward by the lady who is representing intelligence continues. If we look at the words that she is using to glue Puranjana, it's quite fascinating. She calls him, "Oh best of human beings, oh great hero, my dear gentleman, oh killer of the enemy, and then my dear Lord." He may live for 100 years, so she is giving a nice package, wrapper, which looks very glorious and attractive. And if we analyze carefully at the verse, one side she seems to be praising Puranjana, just like sometimes the atheists criticize devotees and followers of God in a direct way and then in a subtle way by glorifying themselves and then putting them down. Here, this woman is trying to bring out the best. I mean the good aspects of household life, and if she had stopped there, it would have been good. But she goes on to criticize how those who are interested in self-realization, she calls those who are missing out to be foolish persons are like animals. So she is addressing those people who are interested in self-realization, who don't want to enjoy their senses, first as foolish and second as animals. After having put them down, now she is again bringing up the glories of household life, which is what is brought up yesterday, which was brought up yesterday. A householder's life brings all kinds of happiness in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the begetting of children, sons and grandsons. So, she is basically presenting side by side the advantages of Grihastha, and Grihamehi lifestyle versus a person who wants to take the path of self-realization. If you would have seen product brochures where they say these are the aspects and we are fulfilling all that, tick, 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 and the other products cross, cross, blank, and they don't have all this. So she is putting up, if you can imagine, a tablet column, and then Grihamehi lifestyle. Okay, I can get dharma, artha, kama, tick, whereas others are not going to enjoy that. Then I can perform sacrifices, elevate myself to the higher planetary systems, and then the material happiness is going to be available for me right now and then in the future also. Whereas those who are self-realized, there's nothing there. They don't know how to enjoy in this life with whatever they've got, and they're not going to enjoy in the next life also. She goes on to say they cannot even imagine such happiness. She must have done some degrees in marketing. She's able to contrast. And today's verse, she's quoting authorities. According to authorities, the householder life is pleasing not only to oneself, but you can satisfy your forefathers, you can satisfy demigods, you can satisfy great sages. Again, there's more columns getting inserted in this tabular column. And everyone else. A householder life is thus beneficial. Then the next verse, she again starts to glorify him. So first we flatter the person, present the advantages of the process that you are trying to allude him to follow. Then bash those who are not following the same recommended process, and bring out the advantages of it. And finally, this verse, Shastra, for those being quoted. So, seems like a nice story. Boy meets a girl, boy proposes. Initially, the girl is shy, but then now she has given up her shyness, and now she is openly willing to have a happy married life. And they, as I said, they live happily ever after. So, 100 years is guaranteed. This is what I'm going to give. But unfortunately, the movie doesn't end there. Bhagavatam goes into the making of the movie, behind the scenes, what happens. How is the body covered up with so many layers? What is it actually worth? And this is going to get unfolded as we see this pastime. How Puranjana pastime is brought out. This pastime alone is to be taken in an allegory form in the whole Bhagavatam. The actual life of devotees described, that should not be taken as allegory, but only this section. Now the key point that is brought out in this is the obligation of the living entities. So her point of argument is, if you take a prasasham, you can fulfill your debts to demigods who provide us with various facilities. You don't pay bills for using sunlight, do you? The sun god sends a bill, okay, in comes to your inbox. You have consumed so much amount of sunlight today, so your bill is due in a month's time, so you need to pay so and so amount.
So many calories.
Yeah, so many?
Calories.
Okay. So we don't get such things, so we assume it's there and we start using it. But nothing is free in this material world. And it is so dark that it has to be lit with sun and moon. Krishna describes that I am the sun and the moon, they are like my eyes. So Lord is giving us those facilities through the demigods and we have an obligation for them. And that we receive through the mercy of the demigods. So I got a package which is packed up and made in India with some defective, as you can see I can't see beyond certain. So I got some defects. So this is how my package was made. And it is aging. I can see myself white hair. It's a notice by Yamaraj, it's all coming. This is how I got my package. And because I got this flesh and the skin and the bones, that was given by my parents. So you will have some similarity facially with respect to your parents, or you could be more looking like your father or mother. So that's why this package is made in a particular place and somebody is giving it to us, and therefore we are indebted to our parents or forefathers because we inherit a lot of wealth from them. Along with the wealth comes the karma also, conditions apply. Fine print. Yes, I'm inheriting wealth from my father, grandfather. Along with that, so one aspect of karma that you got is this whole rest of a prisoner in a cell. So that's what this body represents. So we've got it from our parents, forefathers. So they have given us the bodies, they have given us paternal property. It comes in terms of money and then comes in terms of karma also. Because you did not make a choice, or because I did not make a choice, okay, I'll go to Google Maps, I'll search India, Tamil Nadu, this particular place. I did not do all that. Karma na daiva netre na. We are forced to take birth. Then whatever place that I got into, that was already there. And a lot of effort goes through in delivering a baby. So the protection, nourishment, and all that. So we are indebted. The house, personally I can say the house I lived in was given by my grandfather to my father. And I went through the house papers when I had to apply for a loan. Then I understood, okay, this is coming from my forefathers, that they got it from some other person. So those documents, if you look at it, them will be dating 1900, then it got down to this person, got down to this person. So your grandfather, great-grandfather's name, who you not haven't seen, but you're enjoying, you're sitting in the house which is given by them. And interestingly, Prabhupada mentions that we also inherit the intelligence. Forefathers who give us bodies, paternal property, intelligence. We see some amount of intelligence gets passed on to us, some kind of proclivity that we have. If you're born in a family where there are a lot of professions like doctors, it kind of naturally comes into you. I have a friend of a classmate of mine, schoolmate. His father is a great doctor, and he had three brothers and a sister, and they were all from the young age, they were trained in the science and all those skills, because his father wanted them to make them another set of doctors. So they were groomed in that way, except for one brother who took up engineering. The rest of them, as per the grooming, they took up the profession of doctors. So some amount of intelligence also gets transferred to us. We should be grateful for them, for that, towards our parents. Similarly, we are indebted to the general public for politics and sociology, and also to lower animals, and then the list goes on and on. Now, how are we to repay the debt to each one of them? You can try that process, or the intelligent way is to pour the water at the root, and then the water gets distributed to the branches. And that's what, by taking shelter of Mukunda, Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Apta, Nirna, Pitrina, Na, Kinkaro, Naya, Rinicha, Rajan, Sarvatmanaya, Saranam, Saranyam, Gato, Mukundam, Parivritya, Kartum. So that's the verse of Prabhupada from the 11th canto, 5th chapter, 41. So he is quoting that. And here comes the, here where the bubble is broken. Prabhupada is giving the actual knowledge, not the allurement which the lusty intelligence or the polluted intelligence is presenting, that a person who has not controlled his senses may think that he can repay the debts, but simply by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, he is immediately freed from all the obligations to others, the list, Deva, Rishi, demigods, Rishis. The Rishis have given us the scriptures. So in that verse, the 11th canto verse, the Rishis have given us the scriptures we are reading, like Garga Samhita, Manu Samhita, Deva, Rishi. Yeah, ordinary men, like we take service from so many people, like say now we take public transport, somebody is driving us, we need items to be transported, somebody is transporting us for us. So by surrendering to Krishna, Mukunda, who is the giver of liberation, Mukti Da Mukunda, one who gives Mukti or liberation. So if we surrender unto him and serve him by taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and getting connected to the bona fide parampara, then you don't have to repay the debts separately. So this is the actual knowledge. And here we are able to tick all the boxes by the knowledge of, given by Srila Prabhupada. But as per the mindset of this lusty intelligence, one may not be willing to listen to such divine teachings coming from saintly people, because the polluted intelligence calls those self-realized people to be fools and animals. So if I have an attitude of aversion towards saintly persons, I can't listen to them. I won't listen to them. Because I'm busy making my own plans, because I can't control my senses. And then the world around me presents a lot of allurements, and I start making plans. So that's what is described in the 7th canto verse. So that intelligence is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter. And if you analyze the characteristics, It exactly matches 18:32 where Krishna describes adharma dharma iti ya manyate tama tamashavata sarvata viparitamsya buddhi sarvata tamasi. That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion, sense enjoyment to be all in all, respecting saintly people, that's religion, but then we are disrespecting by calling them animals and fools. That's one of the things. Religion to be irreligion, under the spell of illusion and darkness, and strives always in the wrong direction. Opartha is in the mode of ignorance. That's what initially the allurement was presented. As per the lusty intelligences, you can live a good life now, 100 years guaranteed, with all the facilities. I have made all the facilities for you. You can enjoy your desires, everything. And you don't have to listen to all these people who are transcendental. They're anyway fools and animals, you know, like they're missing out. I can't even imagine how these people live. To that extent, against the saintly people, there's a strong aversion there. And as the later verses describe, she will actually control Puranjana. When the lady drinks, Puranjana will drink. The lady sits, he will sit. When she dances, he will dance. When she lies on the bed, he will lie like that. So she is taking him in the wrong direction, and that's as described here in the translation. So that intelligence is in the mode of ignorance. This is a short and sweet purport by Prabhupada is here. Intelligence in the mode of ignorance is always working the opposite way it should. It accepts religions which are not actually religions and rejects the actual religion. Men in ignorance understand a great soul to be a common man. That's what she is doing here. Transcendentalists, because they are missing out, they are fools and animals. And accept a common man as a great soul. The living entity is a common soul, but then intelligence, the lady is saying you are a great hero, you are a gentleman, she is praising. So a common man is raised up to the level of a great soul, and great soul is considered as a common man. The purport continues. They think truth to be untruth and accept untruth as truth. In the 13th chapter, nature to enjoy the consciousness. One of the purports Prabhupada explains, the senses are the actual creators of the body. They want to enjoy and they are actually creating. And any one of the senses on which the mind focuses on can take you away from the correct path. So the way the allurement is presented is that whatever is untruth is presented as if it's going to be true and everlasting. And whatever little inclination that you have towards reading scriptures or associating with devotees, that is condemned. Like they are fools, animals, don't associate with them. Here we are, I have me, my friends, my whole entourage, come and enjoy. Going back to the purport. In all activities, they simply take the wrong path. Therefore, their intelligence is in the mode of ignorance. Just to summarize, they accept religion to be irreligion. First, common man to be extraordinary man, an extraordinary spiritually elevated people to be a common man, truth to be untruth, untruth to be truth. So the body is untruth, soul is the truth. It exists forever, full of knowledge and bliss, whereas Achit, Nirananda, that's what you get, full of ignorance. So that is projected as truth. So this is how we see that inherently there is no knowledge, you are already lacking in knowledge. And you're not, secondly, you're not willing to listen to those people who are willing to give you advice. That's why there's a saying in my mother tongue that either you should be self-realized and have knowledge, which is your own buddhi that you already have. If you don't, at least you should be willing to listen and get the intelligence and knowledge from others. If you don't, you don't have either, you don't have your own intelligence and you're not even willing to listen, then there's no hope of deliverance. Now, taking the case of a person who's averse to such listening and he doesn't have knowledge and he's going the direction of ignorance, still, because they are attached to some worship or some kind of piety, as mentioned in this, that you can observe in real life that even those who are running after material achievements, when they have major events in their life, like their birthday or their marriage anniversary, or they got a job, just for the sake of formality, they may visit a temple and then just want to, just for formality's sake, go and then take some blessings. So I met one such person who was here, and it was on Vijay Dasami during the day, and kirtan was going on, Prabhupada's tape was on, kirtan was going on, and she was listening to it, and fortunately somebody had given a beat to her, and she was trying to chant the mantra, and she was sitting close to Srila Prabhupada, and she was not having beads, and she wanted to chant, and when she saw me, she asked, where can I find a bead? So then I got the beads and then gave it to her. And then she started to explain, I got a job and I was struggling hard. That's why I came to temple to say thanks. I said, okay. Now you've done such a great thing, you've come to the temple, thank you. They can chant, these are the beads, and because you are now starting a new direction in your life, you got a new job, would you be willing to take the knowledge by which you can manage yourself better so that you can do your job better? So that way I presented the Bhagavad Gita to her, and then she said, no, it's whenever I read Gita, I get too much confused, it's too hard for me. So then I turned the book around and said, see, this is read by great people like Mahatma Gandhi, and slowly her reaction started to change, and then I turned her direction to Prabhupada. I said, look, in Melbourne, which is a busy city, you are able to come and experience a spiritual atmosphere here. You felt peaceful coming here, sitting down, and you felt inspired to chant just by hearing the kirtan. You have not seen Prabhupada personally. But here he is present in his murti form. So please start to express your gratitude by appreciating what he has done. At the age of 70 he has come. Not to get from the West, but to give the spiritual knowledge to the West. So a person who are averse to hearing spiritual topics, one of the ways I felt was to develop appreciation towards a high elevated spiritual person like Srila Prabhupada, so that their aversion to hearing spiritual topics slowly starts to change and they are personally experiencing something higher than what they are running after. Because she said she had an intense interview and going through a lot of stress. And then after coming here, I said, who has created this kind of an oasis in the midst of a desert for you to come and experience the peace? She said, yes, he has done it. Now, people like Gandhi and others have appreciated him, and here is the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, with meaning, translation, word-to-word explanation and purpose. You might have read a Gita which is just the verses. You might have done it as a matter of reciting some Sanskrit verses. You may not have understood what it means. But here is the authentic version, reading which many people have experienced transformation in their lives. And that's why you see people from various countries coming and taking up this process. So, the point I'm trying to make is we must be able to present where the aversion is slowly starting to change towards appreciation, and that's the biggest step. Where they are able to appreciate the saintly person, they are willing to listen. And I asked her, like, how did you come here? Like, I said, yeah, I drove and I came. So I continued speaking to her. I started to tell her about when you started to learn driving a car. Did you learn it by yourself? Or no, I had an instructor and there were so many controls, he told me. Similarly, although reading Bhagavad Gita and all that may be difficult initially, with a proper spiritual instructor, with you and with illustrated pictures like this. And I told her, like, you're intelligent, you've got a job, you know how your intelligence works, how you control yourself. Then showed her the picture with the horse, the soul, the driver, then the reins and the horses. So by now she is able to appreciate what's in the Gita and then see the relevance. If you're able to manage yourself better, you can perform well in your job. And the same money, prestige that you're running after, that is also going to come, provided you control yourself better. You have good relationship with your superiors at work, equals and the juniors. So this book will teach you how to do that. So when presented in that way, that slowly the aversion starts to turn to appreciation, and she herself, like, she has experienced the blazing fire of the material world, and she wants to have some peaceful place, and here is the place. And as always, we ask for a small donation. Then she said, I didn't bring anything with me. No, I said, okay, we accept cars, we have a car. She didn't bring anything. So she promised that she would come back and pay me later, which she eventually did. So, firstly, those who are running after material pleasure, during the key events in their life, they tend to turn towards spirituality, and at that time when it is presented in a way that their aversion slowly starts to change to appreciation, by giving them the knowledge, by giving them what they want in terms of their senses, because I told her to go upstairs and have prasadam, and she was very happy. She had prasadam and then came home. And so the senses which require some kind of gratification, we are giving a spiritual version of it. And she also took darshan of the deities, which also the personal form of the Lord, as described by Lord Shiva in the previous set of prayers, that the personal form of the Lord when seen, taking darshan, that satisfies your senses and gives a sense of satisfaction to you, which cannot be experienced in the outside world. So she was able to see both the things side by side. And now it's up to her what choice she wants to make. Now the intelligence is starting to awaken and is able to compare these two, the blazing fire of the outside world and the peace and serenity experienced in this temple hall. So then the intelligence, the spiritual intelligence actually gets awakened. There is one verse by the Acharya, Sampraptam Labdha Buddhaye. Now I have been serving my senses for many, many lifetimes. Now my intelligence is awakened. So, it is our responsibility to create an environment where people come and awaken their spiritual intelligence, experience directly what it means to have a peaceful mind and controlled senses, then get exposure to the personal form of the Lord. Thereby they are able to experience something higher, which they have not experienced in the outside world. This knowledge as such has to be given out and also applied personally in our own life. When I was reflecting on this whole episode of Puranjana getting allured by the woman, I remember the episode of Diti alluring Kashyapa, and that's the same, very similar, where Diti will start to praise him, praise Kashyapa, and Kashyapa will also pacify her with the joking words. In that section, Prabhupada writes that although Kashyapa was doing religious, he was conducting some pious activities at home, and that fateful evening where he got allured by the sweet words of Diti, where she will present very similar to what this lady is presenting, like, you are a great person, you have such nice qualities, it is your duty to give me a child, and all that, and Kashyapa will also glorify you. Oh, a wife like you is like a fortress, who can protect a husband, and because of you, I am able to... So, he will also praise her, and gradually his intelligence is becoming weaker. In that section, Prabhupada writes that because Kashyapa was focusing on the impersonal aspect of the Lord, he was not able to withstand those allurements, and he gave in. So, a lesson to take personally, at least for me, I felt that I need to focus more on the personal form of the Lord, meditate on that, chant His glories, attentively glorifying His personal form, thereby control the senses, redirect them and give them a positive spiritual engagement. That way we can spiritualize the intelligence, then enable and spiritualize our mind and the senses and engage them in the service of the Lord. That way you're not only giving the knowledge to others, you're also personally applying and experiencing that higher taste in your life, because the senses require engagement, the intelligence requires proper engagement. By merely abstaining from sense activities, we not completely purified, by positively engaging them, we get purified. So this way you apply it in your own life, you see the change, and then with that inspiration you go out and share this knowledge with others. I'll stop there and see if there are any questions related to what we discussed today. Yes. Any other questions related to this, what we discussed? Yeah. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Radha Krishna Prabhupada.